Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Listen, God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you right after the song.
From the day I was born,
everyone. Again, this is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Tonight, I just want to start the show off giving my heart out to all the families that have lost children and maybe a husband and wife or family member in Connecticut. Tonight here on Dirty Church Radio, we pray. Our prayers really go out to all of those families. I know America is grieving every parent that has children of your own. I know your heart goes out to this. This is something that we never would expect. We never, you know, there's no answers really why would someone would do something like this. But here on Dirty Church Radio, we are praying for the strength of the families, because this is a very hard loss. And I just pray not only just for those families, but for our nation. There's so much stuff going on in this world today that is not as advertised. It's things happening in this world that, you know, a lot of us are not even hearing about. But as a lot of mothers on an everyday basis and fathers whose hearts are grieving, children's hearts are grieving by the tragedy and the hatred, the selfish acts that people do in this world. It's just unbelievable. You never imagine that someone could have a heart or a mind to do such evil. And it's something, our hearts are sad today on this show, Dirty Church Radio, because any one of us could have been in that situation. We all send our children away to school every day, expecting them to go to school and learn, you know, have fun, and then come home. But to actually send your child away to school and to get a call or just look on the news and see a tragedy happening and you looking and knowing that this your child goes to that school, in the panic that can go through your heart, and then you find out that it's your child or a child that you knew or your neighbor's child. I mean, this is something. And like I said in the beginning, we are praying for the strength of those families. We're praying for the strength of this nation. We just praying for the minds of people in general. People were just gravitating and realize that love truly exists and that we can have love in our hearts for our fellow man, our brother, you know what I mean, our neighbor, for our communities, and then must have love for our children. And today we lost part of our future by them, by what happened today. And words can't even express how we feel today about what happened on this show. We can't express it. And I was sitting here today just wondering, you know, I start thinking of my children and just thinking of my family's children. And just imagine, my heart even goes out to the cops, the law enforcement that had to go into the school and actually have to see this. And those same cops and detectives are parents. And I'm praying for their minds and their hearts. Just imagine having to see that. And I know they even, you know, they see a lot of crime scenes a lot of times, but it's something, it takes it to a different place when you walk in a place and it's children. Children. So I'm praying for their minds. This is a time, listen, and I'm saying this live on the radio, that if your child is home with you right now, wherever your child may be, if you're in your child's presence, or if you're away from them, you can call them from a phone, tell them that you love them. Right now, I'm just saying to everyone, just grab your child right now and just give your child a hug and embrace them and let them know how much you love them. And I say this to all the parents that are out there, love on your children. Teach them truly what love is, because it starts at home. And I know a lot of times, you know, we neglect, you know, we have our careers and we got a lot of stuff going on in our lives. We're busy. Everyone is busy. We're doing this and doing that. But we have to take time and love on our children. We have to teach them and show them, not just by what you buy them or what you give them, but show them by the time and the intimate time that you spend with your children, to show them love so that they'll know what love feels, that they won't be deceived, that they'll know what true love is. So I just hope everyone just hug your children tonight. Just let them know I love you. All fathers, it's time for us to stand up and be men. Let's be men. Let's lead our families to greatness. Let's teach our sons. Let's teach our daughters. Let's be together. Let's unify. And it all starts at home, at your personal homes, teaching your children what love is. Whether you was brought up in a broken home and you didn't feel it, you can break that cycle with your family and start a whole new chain of love in your family. It starts with you. So tonight is just a night. I can't just say it enough, man. All I can do, we can do, is just pray for those families that they can just be strengthened in this, because they're going to need strength. 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 Listen, anyone out there tonight, the number is 773-897-6319. 773-897-6319. Like I stated before, listen, here on Dirty Church Radio, we are praying for all the families that have lost children today. We're praying for the mind of the cops and the detectives that was on the scene. We're praying for the teachers. We're praying for the other children that weren't harmed, but that witnessed and knew what was going on. We're praying for their minds. Just for, wow, praying for our nation as a whole. Like I said earlier, there are so many other stories that may not have much attention that are going on. There are other hurt hearts out there today. You know, someone probably just now just lost a loved one or anything like that. And just praying for strength, whether you believe in prayer or not. On Dirty Church Radio, we praying for you that you can get some sense of love and strength. And wow, I don't know what. Anyway, everyone out here, we have our brother Aaron D.A. Spradley on the line with us, man. What's going on, brother?
How's it going?
Good, man. Everything is good, man. Everything is good.
Good to hear.
How about with you?
Everything's always good. I love life and everything in it. No complaints.
That's great, man. That's great. That's great. So what's new, D.A.?
What's new is today. Today's a new day. You know what I'm saying? The day that nobody's ever seen in their whole entire existence. So,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right about that.
Yeah. Another thing that's new is, you know, this topic. We haven't talked about this one yet. So I think it's going to be very interesting tonight.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Yeah. It should be interesting. Well, anything you want to say, man? Listen, you're on the show right now tonight. Any questions that you may have, something, how you want to start out tonight and say something? Me, I just, my mind went somewhere completely else as soon as I started the show. I started thinking about what happened today and the reality of it. Just like, wow. Like, wow, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is, me personally, I don't want to feel, I don't want to sound desensitized at all, but it's not too much you can say in situations like that. I mean, like you said earlier, for those who pray, that's the best thing that they can do for, you know, and other people, you know what I'm saying, find, loved ones in this situation, you know, this is the time to, you know, I guess do whatever you need to do to make yourself cope, basically. I mean, you really can't say too much about the situation. I guess, you know, it's more of a reality because it's getting closer and closer to home. But, you know, like I said, I don't want to necessarily sound or, you know, feel as though I'm desensitized towards it, but kids die every single day, brutally. Some die more brutally than this type of situation. You know what I mean? It's just because now it's close to home, it's striking at home. You know, it's more of a reality to us as Americans. But you know, there's countries that, you know, killing children has been a custom. They've been doing it for years and centuries. You know what I mean? So even until this day, you know, and I'm not saying one is worse than the other, but, you know, the same way everybody copes with certain situations, you know, whether it's religion, whether it's family, I mean, whatever, whether you go to some type of counseling, whatever you need to accommodate your well-being, I say do so.
Okay. I think this is ex-Catholic on the line with us.
Good evening. Good evening. How are you doing?
How's it going?
What's going on, man?
All right. Doing great. I missed the beginning of the show, but...
Now, the beginning of the show really wasn't about the topic. We were just talking about what happened. Well, I was talking about, you know, just that my prayers and my concern go for what happened with the children, you know. You know, it was deep, you know what I mean? When you got children on your own, everybody responds different. Me, sometimes I take things, I don't know. Sometimes I be like an antenna, and I'm like, put myself.
I felt that.
Yeah, no, you know what I mean?
I felt that today too. I felt it. I was watching. Usually I wouldn't even shed a tear, but I caught myself kind of putting myself in those people's situation, and
yeah.
That's a tough one. That's one
it's
of those
that
brings a grown man down to your knees.
And you know what I'm saying, and I know, you know, we can say, you know, it happens all over the world, which is true, but, you know, today it happened again. And like I said on the show, a lot of things happen, and it's not as televised or it's not, you know, put out there. You know it happens, but today was one of those days, whatever you was watching shut off, and that came across, you know what I mean? So it was like put right in your face, reality. This is happening. It just happened right now. And, you know, and when you got children, when you're a father and all that type of stuff, you know, you're concerned, man. And I believe a lot of times in this world, I believe that's what it takes if more people are really more genuinely concerned about other people instead of them own selves. You know, as long as me and my family, we're happy and everything is okay, and behind my gate, whatever goes on with anyone else, hey, suck it up, keep on moving, you know what I mean? But I think if we all, you show concern for other people during their time of tragedy or whatever, you know, I just think that's needed. That type of heart is needed in this world today. Because a lot of people, you know, walk around, you know, if it ain't about me, forget it. You know what I mean? And I think that's what creates things the way it is a lot of times. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I think the best thing for people to do. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the best thing for in these situations, like, you know how you'll see the president come on and the president speak on the subject, and then they'll say something like, you know, at the end of their speech, God bless America. I think, you know, to put it in perspective, I think people should just kind of like, in those kind of situations, just say, you know, God bless the world. So you just to acknowledge that, you know, it does happen everywhere. Though it's in our face right now, you know, we're not necessarily, you know, not paying attention to the other places that it happens also, you know. So I think that would be a good move, in, you know, in the future for public officials or, you know, even us, not even public officials, just people that are speakers, that people listen to us, you know, acknowledge that.
Yeah, God bless the world.
Yeah, God bless the world. You know, we're all God's, you know, God's children, period, you know? But,
Okay.
Wow.
So DA, go ahead, DA. You know what I mean? You on the line quiet right now. Go ahead, make my brain think, make me think of something, man. Make me reason with something.
Well, you're basically reasoning right now. This whole conversation in the beginning was on reason, because nobody necessarily has an answer. So we as human beings, we try to find solutions. We try to find ways to cope with stuff, you know, and that's you know, I was talking to you earlier and you said, you know, some people find their solutions through religion or through a belief, or through faith. Our brother Senefa says all the time, you know, if that's what keeps you, and if that's what sustains you from, you know, doing something that may be harmful to yourself or anyone else, then, you know, keep believing, keep having faith in that particular thing, or, you know, keep trusting in it, whatever the case is. You know, so,
I want to also say, too, Brother Matu from Michigan, man, if you're out there, this is Minister Jay Miller, man. Listen, I received the package. I received the books that you sent me, man. I'm so thankful, man. Thankful that you kept your word. You stood strong on it. I received it today. And just want to appreciate you, man, for sending that information, those books, so I can share those books with some youth. And I believe it would be a blessing to them. So thank you so much. If you can hear me, call in. Let us talk to you so I can thank you personally with a response or something like that. But thanks again, man.
A quick question. Is it just my phone that sounds like an echo, or do you guys
hear it too? I don't hear it on my phone.
I don't hear it on my phone.
I'm gonna hang up and call back.
Okay.
Okay. I got you.
All right.
Tonight's show is about reason and faith, and I think we just want to find out the difference between the two. Where do both of these words stand? Is reason the total opposite of faith? What actually is faith? Can Christianity only define faith? You know, those are some of the questions that I want to ask before we even get into the subject or the topic of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any answers or comments? Or
no, I'm saying, if you got any questions, let's talk. I mean, take it.
Well, I mean, that was basically my first question. Like, for instance, what is the definition of reason within the context of how we are comparing it, or not comparing it, basically contrasting it to faith? Because people use reason for different reasons.
Well, it says reason is the capacity for consciously making sense of things, for establishing and verifying facts, and changing or justifying practices, institutions, and beliefs based on new or existing information. Mm-hmm. It is closely associated with such characteristically human activities as philosophy, science, language, mathematics, and art, and is normally considered to be a definitive characteristic of human nature. The concept of reason is sometimes referred to as rationally and sometimes as discernative reason in opposition to intuitive reason.
All right, and I'll tell you the definition that I have of reason. The first definition is the one I stated earlier, not on the show, but a statement offered in explanation or justification. So, like, you know, people give reasons for things. It's just to offer or give somebody an explanation of why you did this or why this happened or whatever. But then another definition of it more so points to the kind of direction you were going in, a sufficient ground of explanation or of logical defense, especially something, in parentheses, has a principle or law that supports a conclusion or explains a fact. And I think that's what we're, that's what we are comparing faith and religion to.
That's what I like. I mean, it's the same thing. Reason is the capacity for consciously making sense of things, for establishing and verifying facts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got you.
All right, now let's let's look at faith. I have one definition here. It's the Wikipedia definition. It says, depending on the religion. Faith is belief in a god or gods, or in the doctrines or teachings of the religion. Informal uses of faith can be quite broad, including trust or belief without proof. And faith is often used as a substitute for hope, trust, or belief. Some critics of faith have argued that faith is opposed to reason. The contrast, hey, we're talking about that right now. In contrast, some advocates of faith argue that the proper domain of faith concerns questions which cannot be settled by evidence. This is amplified by attitudes about the future, which by definition has not yet occurred. That's awesome. That's an awesome definition of faith, because that definition puts it in contrast with reason, because reason deals with logic and evidence based on the facts
that faith, already have happened.
Yes. Faith deals with belief, no evidence contrary to the facts. You trust in something because you believe it, and that's where your faith lies in.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just read the actual definitions, which the Catholic is back on the line right here. I was on another page. I didn't see him. What's going on? Here you go.
Hey, don't you guys think that there could be a balance between the two?
No, it can't.
Really?
Yeah, it can't.
Let me hear him why. Let me hear him why he would say that.
I mean, the reason I say that is, I mean, why does it have to be so black and white? I mean, why can't you be a believer and have faith and still be able to admit that that due to the fact that you don't have certain proofs or certain facts that you could still be on the other side. You could still be, you know, have your faith, but just be able to admit that, hey, you know what, I don't know this. And I don't know if I ever will know this, but it's okay.
Well,
the thing about Christianity is that, you build your faith based on the Bible's teachings, right? And you can't stray. You're not allowed to stray. If you stray from the teachings, even if you don't make up your mind in another way, it's looked down upon.
All right. Well, to answer some of the questions, people can believe and have reason in its simplest form and its simplest definition of reason and faith. I mean, reason and belief, but we're not necessarily talking about believing, because you can believe just about anything. People that don't necessarily in particular believe or accept any type of God or gods believe a lot of things. They could believe that their child is a good kid. They can believe that their wife loves them. It's totally different from faith, putting your faith or putting your belief in faith. And faith basically is the premise of religion, of actually obtaining God, having God being a part of your life. And saying that opposed to saying, reason, they're two different things, and you can't have them both, because faith says despite the evidence, it doesn't matter what the evidence say. This is true. Reason says, give me evidence.
Yeah. I get the point you're making. But I just feel like whether we say it or not, in my opinion, 90% of the people who out there who say that they have complete faith, not belief, complete faith, I know in my heart that they can't completely have 100% faith all the time in whatever it is, whatever religion or whatever it is that they have faith in. They have to, you are human beings. You have to question it sometimes and let the reason will prevail.
Well, I would have a question for you and Jay, if I'm out of mind. You said people question their faith. Well, when somebody questions their faith, you mentioned this earlier, I'm asking, isn't that looked down upon as a believer when you question your faith? That's why a lot of times people don't even entertain conversations about lack of faith or believing something else, because once you actually apply reason to your faith, it doesn't work. You kind of ignore faith. And isn't that kind of sort of like, you know, it's kind of a taboo to say that people who believe wholeheartedly in their faith question their faith?
Now, let me ask you this. Remember you said, didn't you give another definition of reason, right? What was the first definition you have gave of reason? Like used it in a different way.
Yeah, it's just an explanation of why, basically.
Of
so
why.
Right? It says a statement
so
offered.
I believe that reason is a lot of times what is used, because many people have reasons to have faith.
Of course, yeah, but I said we're not talking about that.
What I'm saying is, sometimes your reason for having faith is what outranks reason to you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
like your
yeah,
reason
yeah, yeah,
for it outranks reason, because reason doesn't do nothing for you, because reason is the reality of your situation. All right, I'm a crack addict, right? I'm addicted, like, you know, and I'm not just using that example, but I'm on drugs and I'm addicted, right? Now, I have a reason to want to get rid of this if I choose to, like because if it's messing me up, I done lost my kids, my family, and my job, money. I'm out there now, and you know what I mean. So now I have a reason to want to do better. Now, according to a lot of people, when you go, like, say if you go to a drug rehab place, right, when they stand up, don't they always have to say, like, my name is so-and-so and I am an alcoholic, or I am a cocaine user. So according to that, you have to constantly identify yourself as what your addiction is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now that's what you speak. You become. That's who you become.
No, you don't.
No. What I'm saying is, that's what you're called. That's what your name becomes in that place. Like, my name is so and so, and I am a this or I am a that.
Do you know why they do that?
To admit that they have a problem.
And when you admit that you have a problem with something, or when you admit that you have a problem with something, what does that do?
No, you can do something about it.
Okay. So from a Christian perspective,
gives you a reason. It gives you a reason. Now you admit that you have a problem. now I have a reason to change. I can change from this.
Yes.
All right? Yeah, yes. You have a reason to change. Now, what I'm saying is like, now, in religion and faith, the difference with that, like if you go to church, church is not going to teach you to call yourself what your addiction is. Church is going to tell you that your mind can be renewed and changed from that. And you don't have to identify yourself.
I have a question for you. Since you are comparing the two, are you saying that one works better than the other?
No, what I'm saying, no, this is what I'm telling you, that there are people where faith has worked better than the other. There are people, like I know people personally that were on drugs, bad.
Yeah, that's understandable.
And their faith and belief, whatever, in God, delivered them from that addiction or whatever.
Yeah,
and
now see what happens.
And they having faith in God worked for them. It worked.
Yes. And true indeed. But see what happens
and
is,
that's the evidence. No, listen, that's the evidence. That's all the evidence some people need. They don't need it to make sense. They need to see the result of it. So there are some things that can't be explained.
That does make sense for some people. I can't argue with that. But go ahead, Kat.
I have a question for Devil's Advocate. Which would you say between faith and reason would be the more powerful one?
Faith.
Definitely. So yeah, so speaking on what he just said, I get it. I mean, you know what? It does make sense that, you know, a lot of people, faith could definitely bring them in the right direction.
Listen. When you said powerful, I didn't mean powerful necessarily in a positive way. I just meant powerful in the sense of the word powerful. Faith is very, very powerful. And the reason why I say faith is very, very powerful is because a faith in something without evidence, basically allows one to feel or believe or sense in themselves that they can basically do, achieve, accomplish, set forth anything they want, whether it's positive
or
negative.
But it can be powerful in a positive way, and it can be powerful in a negative way, too.
Yes, of course. I definitely agree with that.
Now, I had another question for you. Now, you see how you said that it's not necessarily possible to have both. Now, what would you say for how would you categorize a Christian agnostic? Like, because they still believe in God, but they just may not follow the religion the same way as a Christian would, but they still believe in Christianity.
Well, yeah, well, I am a Christian.
So
I am also an agnostic, and everybody to some degree is a Christian. I mean, is an agnostic, and Gnosticism means to know. It means knowing. Agnostic means I don't know, and I don't claim to know.
So
that's
isn't that
all
the balance?
It means, huh?
Isn't that the balance right there?
No, because reason is evidence. See, and that's why I don't think people necessarily understand the actual definition of reason. Not the reason why I'm going to the store is because I want some Kool-Aid. That's not the reason we're referring to. We are referring to reason. I will give the definition again. Reason is a sufficient ground of explanation or of logical defense, especially something as a principle or law that supports a conclusion or explains a fact. So basically,
well, listen like this, right? Too, and I like this one too. I'm gonna read this one. It says, "Reason is the capacity for consciously making sense of things, for establishing and verifying facts." Now, listen. Mm-hmm. Now, if I was on drugs and I prayed to God, or I got with some brothers and they talk with me and we prayed, and I got delivered from that thing. And I believe in that thing right now. Now, my faith in that thing, I'm counting faith, my faith in God as the one who delivered me from this drug addiction. Now, to me, my evidence is that I'm delivered from drugs now. So I don't actually need, I don't have to actually show you, like, the actual evidence of the
power. No, it's different because that's personal experience. That's personal experience.
No, but I have become the evidence now.
Yeah, it's personal experience.
No, but
which holds
no
ground.
I'm no longer on drugs, so that's
no. But yeah, I understand that, but that's personal evidence. Evidence. That's personal experience.
But listen. It's personal experience, but it can be it's someone's truth. It's someone's
yeah, and no,
fact.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's true.
So
and that,
what I'm
that's
saying
true
is
within itself.
That's for that individual. That's the reason. That's their reasoning.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. And you know, hold up. I just want to say, too, we do have Apostle Young on the line right now with us, and we got our brother Sword on the line. How y'all doing, brothers?
What's good, Apostle?
All right,
God
bless you, brothers.
All right, because I'm not going to be able to stay on here long. Can I just interject something, and then I go back to being quiet?
No, go ahead, say something.
Reasoning is for things that are obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is for things that are not obvious. That's what separates the two. Reasoning is for things that are obvious. I'm going to say it again. There's logic behind it. Therefore, there's a need for reasoning. All right. There's no need for reasoning without logic, evidence, or proof. Without logic, evidence, or proof, there's no need for reasoning. Because without substance, there's no need for reasoning. But faith does not require logic, evidence, or proof. That's what differs between reasoning and faith.
Thank you, Apostle. That was awesome. That's the best explanation that anybody could give tonight.
Hold on. I got a question for Apostle, though. Like I just said, now, Apostle, and I'm asking this question. If someone gets delivered from drugs, they prayed and they had faith in God, and they get off of drugs, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, they get off of drugs. All right. Now, the Bible does talk and says that faith is the substance.
Yeah.
Of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when that person gets delivered from drugs, now they're set free, and they give all praise to God, for they give him the glory, they give him, for him, he's the one who has done it. Doesn't that become, what was done become their evidence?
Yeah, to them personally.
Okay, let me help.
Go ahead.
Let me help. Logically thinking, if a person that's on drugs, logically or clinically speaking, they need assistance from another drug to be weaned off one drug. They usually use methadone or some other types of drugs to wean you off the drug that you're currently on. It's still a drug, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means they got to go through rehab. They got to go through drug rehab. They got to take methadone for X amount of days. The methadone then has to be flushed out of their system for them to be technically labeled free and clean from drugs. Once that drug is out of their system, I'm talking about the methadone, the replacement drug is out of their system, that system has to be cleaned out. And then once that system is cleaned out, that's when they start their days of being free from drugs.
Mm-hmm.
All right? the evidence is what they went through to get clean. They got tangible proof that they got something from a doctor that's saying that they went through the process, they went through the 60-90-day process to be labeled clean from drugs. Now, that's on the reasoning side of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
On the faith side of the equation, somebody walks into a church, gets into a prayer line, somebody lays hands, and before they lay hands, they ask the question, do you believe that God can deliver you from drugs? Through faith, they believe that through the laying hands, laying on of hands, and prayers being prayed over them, they believe or they have faith that after that hand is off of them, they are now free from drugs.
Uh-huh.
They don't. The faith becomes the evidence. The faith in the actual miraculous, whatever you want to call, deliverance from drugs becomes the evidence.
All right. Now let me ask
but
you
hold
this
on,
question
wait a minute.
Right here.
It's different,
question.
Though, when you physically go and go through a rehab situation. You are physically, mentally doing something to achieve that task. Now, anybody follow what I'm saying?
I got a question for you. I got a question for you, Apostle. Do you have to think a thought to have faith?
Yes. A thought, believing, is still a thought. You can't have faith without thinking that you believe that. You cannot have faith without believing. Believing cannot happen without a thought.
So consciously you think a thought, and the result of your thought says, I have faith in this.
Yes.
I just want to comment with that faith. Now we know the word of God says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And said, how can they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? So, and how can he preach unless he be sent? So God sends out those who know him to inform others and give a word. And then when that person hears the word, and that word again turns into faith if he choose to grab hold to it and obey it. In other words, choose to believe what that word says. And like you said, that thought, now that thought came from the preaching of the word, that he could be delivered from drugs, sex, violence, or whatever, criminality, whatever. So when
now,
he hear that word, that he could be delivered, faith now becomes, as the apostle said, the substance. That's the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So the evidence now for a believer is his faith. And we're not talking about faith in something we don't know. We're talking about faith in the Creator. And I mean, if you believe, these signs shall follow them that believe. I mean, if you believe, it's going to be some evidence in your talk. It's going to be some evidence in your walk. You know, so you know, if you believe, it's going to be seen. So, like, if I tell you this airplane about to blow up, if you believe it, you ain't gonna get on it. Now, if you don't believe it, you're gonna get on it, and you're gonna get blowed up. But believing brings about an action. So your faith is trusting in and believing in. And so, if you believe in the Creator, he's gonna be there. You can't please him without believing in him.
See, the problem is that faith is very personal. Faith is very personal. And when the issue comes when one person's faith ends up being a double-edged sword, when that person's faith, they end up believing in something that in their mind makes sense, but to other people it's the total opposite. And then now they're doing what they believe based off of their faith might be right. And then, you know, the rest of the world is looking at it like, oh, wait a minute, this guy is the total extreme. And, you know, so the fact that, my point about that is that it's so personal that you can't narrow it down and say that each person's faith is going to be in the same thing. So if
well,
one
the Bible
person
says that, brother.
You said what?
The Bible confirms what you just said, because the Bible says God gives us all the measure of faith.
Yeah.
So my measure of faith is not going to be the same as your measure of faith.
Yeah. Now what I was saying about it being a double-edged sword is when you have one that's completely faithful in a way that may be destructive to others.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I have a comment.
That's kind of dangerous.
I have a comment. What he said when he said that faith is something personal, and what I was saying before, how, you know, people's experiences are their personal experience, and it doesn't necessarily weigh as truth generally. It may weigh as truth to them, but it doesn't weigh truth generally by making a statement. Okay, for instance, let's say I tell you guys I got abducted by aliens. First thing you guys will probably think, and I'm assuming because I don't know, you would think that I was either lying, I was playing, or I've lost my mind.
Combination of all three.
Exactly. So my thing is, if I actually say that, and I believe that it actually happened to me, that's my evidence, that's my proof. But what does that do for everybody else who thinks I'm either crazy, I'm playing, or I'm just lying to you? It doesn't do anything for them. It only does something personally for me. So that does not dictate what actually is true, but it may be true to me, my personal experience. And there's nothing wrong with that, because people live off of that every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said, Jay, you know, there's people that you know, have addictions, and because of their faith, they are no longer they are no longer addicted to whatever they were addicted to, which and then they totally say that God helped me do this, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a beautiful thing.
Because you know something too, because reason, like you said, doesn't always work either, because like up the example that Apostle gave, there are people who go through the steps of taking the antidote of that goes against the drug so they can get weaned off.
No, but
and
that
they wind
no,
up
you,
being
you,
worse
no, than. No, no, you're mixing it up. Reason has nothing to do with either if someone can get off of a drug or not.
No,
not only
no,
that,
no,
but everybody
no.
doesn't necessarily go through a detox period where they have to go on to another drug. There's other people that just do a cold turkey. They don't necessarily use anything. They just stop taking drugs, depending on what kind of drug it is. But that what you just said, that has nothing to do with reasoning not working.
What I said is it doesn't always work. Like, it's not a sure thing. You know what I mean? It's not always a sure thing of someone getting, you know, the example that Apostle just used. Like, if someone goes to the doctors and they on drugs and they give them another serum of a drug to help them get off that one, even that works for some people, but it doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah,
but, it has
but you don't account
work.
That to reasoning, though. Like for instance, you like somebody would account a certain thing to faith. You don't account that to reason and saying, well, since this doesn't work, reason
no,
doesn't
no,
work
because no,
reason doesn't
no,
work
no,
that
no.
way.
No, this is what I'm saying. According to reason, more people would say it worked because it has been proven to work for some
no,
people.
No, yeah, exactly. It worked
no,
for some individual.
No, but what I'm saying is, so what I mean is, so my question is, and the question was asked on here. I think ex-Catholic asked the question, which one is more powerful, faith or reason?
Can I answer that?
Go ahead, Apostle.
You would have to say faith is more powerful.
That's what I said earlier.
Because faith does not have all the stipulations and the requirements of reason.
That reason has. So true.
Now,
so why choose reason? Why do more people choose reason?
Because reason is evidence. Reason is fact.
I don't believe that that's the case.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And he's right about that too. Because more people do choose faith than they do reason.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they don't have a choice.
And I believe that
because
there's a balance.
When you're using reasoning, you can't always use reasoning, especially if you're in a dilemma or a quorum that makes you say, "I don't know." So when you say, "I don't know," you have to use faith. Because you have no proof, you have no evidence, and you have nothing to grab that you could call logic. So when you're in that type of situation, you have no choice but to use faith. And an atheist, you could go beyond a religious thing or a God thing. Because at some point in time, even an atheist has to have faith in something. All right. Now, while I'm talking, let me throw this scenario out. Because in everything that you do, even God, you have to have balance in everything that you do. Now, what about the faith extremists that is so hung up on their faith and believing that God is going to heal them and refuse to go to the doctors? And then they die because they refuse to go to the doctor. If God don't heal me, I'll just die.
Jehovah's Witness.
Hold up. So I got a question now. So really then, you need both.
So I
kind of do work.
You need both. Because everything, listen to me, and I'm saying this under, and people might not agree, but I'm saying this under the
impression,
the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, okay.
You have to have both because everything does not require faith. Everything that you do on a daily basis does not require faith.
Mm-hmm.
Every decision you make throughout the day does not require faith. It requires reasoning. When you're at your job doing what you're doing, 9 times out of 10, you're not using faith, you're using reason.
Reasoning tells me don't put my hand in fire.
There you go. What's my man's name?
Sword. That's Sword.
Oh, Sword. Now you're talking.
Reason tells me, don't walk in front of that moving truck.
It's the same common sense.
Exactly. Now, Sword, check it, Sword. How about all of those people who actually follow the scripture? Maybe Apostle knows the scripture where they say, in the last days, you will be able to handle snakes and it won't harm you. And there are a lot of snake handlers who actually get bitten because their faith is in God so much that they're willing to actually handle snakes and die.
Yeah, see, now what Jesus actually was saying was that he was teaching us don't fear. He wasn't telling us to go play with poisonous snakes.
Yeah.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? He was telling us don't fear. I got your back. You know, but don't go drink no poison.
Don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Yeah, he said, if you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. And you got some people who literally drink poison and drop dead. You know, but what Jesus was saying is, I got your back, but I'm not telling you to go and tempt, like the apostle just said. Don't tempt God. God told Jesus that if he fall, the angels would take charge over him and protect him, and the devil quoted that scripture. David in the Psalms says that his angels would take charge over him unless he dashed his feet against a brick. That means get mad and stomp and kick the wall. So Jesus told the devil, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. You know, whether we say it was reasoning, if he jumped off of that pinnacle, that will, God will, his angels will take him or he will fall, he he had faith to know not to do it, and he didn't tempt God to say, God will protect me anyway. You know, God will protect you. Faith is real broad. It's broad because if you don't have a sense, as Apostle said, a sense of reasoning, you would take something that's counterfeit. And it's a lot of counterfeit religions, and they all say they got faith. But now, you're not going to allow me to bring you something false. You want the truth. And so you got to rely upon the one who brought you out of your mother's womb and seek him until you leave. Not just what your mama said, but from your own experience. Minister Jay was talking about experience from being delivered from alcohol or drugs or sex addiction or from criminality or negative lifestyle of lust and chasing women. You know, things that we used to do, we don't do no more. And the evidence that we have some experience with God is that we change. Not that we've been brought up this way. You know, you got some people who've been brought up and they don't do certain things. Like the, I heard you mention Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not allowed to be in private places with the opposite sex. So if as a kid coming up, my mama teach me not to be in private places with the opposite sex. So I'm going to follow her principles and her rules. But, you know, you got a man who ain't been brought up with those principles and those rules. You know, sometimes God will tell you to do things and it don't make no sense. It don't make no sense for Mary to tell her husband that she's pregnant and ain't seen no man. That don't make no sense. But a lot of things, like Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. So for us who got faith, some things God might tell us to do might not make no sense because God might tell you to do something. In other words, looking in a fish mouth don't make sense for money. But yet Jesus told his disciples that they will find a fish and get that fish, and there will be some money in there to go pay the taxes. God will tell you to do some things that don't make no sense, but your faith, and you know that it's coming from God, it'll make spirit. It might not make sense, but it makes spirit. In other words, God is spirit, and we trust in his spirit. You know, you got to know him. Check this out. The word says, how shall they hear without a preacher? First it was talking about faith. Faith come by hearing. Okay, faith, we're talking about faith and reason. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now faith in God comes by his word. But then check out how it goes to, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not heard? Now it's talking about, and how shall they hear without a preacher? We're talking about believing now in him. And so how can you believe in him unless you heard his word and start beginning to trust him and do what he says? And not what the man says, not what the next man. How can you know if I'm telling you what God says or if I'm telling you something what somebody else told me? You got to experience God for yourself. You got to know that you connected with him for yourself. Not just say, I believe, because I choose to say I believe and I choose this faith and I choose that faith. No, you have to have an experience with God because he's just as real as fire. He's real. He's just as real as me and you. He's real. But you got to get to know him. And if you don't know him in a personal way, you got to seek him until you leave this earth. Look for him and you will find him. I guarantee you. All you got to do is open up and stop acting like you're so smart and dealing with reasoning. Reasoning a lot of times will keep you from God. So you got to have some trust and faith, and you're not going to allow yourself to be hoodwinked and bamboozled and fooled. So search for him, and I guarantee you, you will find him because he is alive and he's not dead. But you need faith, and so faith comes by hearing. And hearing that word, you will find him if you're looking for him.
I have a question for you, Swore. How about all of those who actually seek other type of gods? Are you saying that their gods are real to them as well?
Well, I'm saying if I choose to believe in the power of witches, if I choose to believe in the power of superstitions, and I choose to start fearing these can have some force and some power over my life. But if I choose not to acknowledge them, or I choose to trust in the God that I know, I'm saying you can make a rock your God. You can make the sun your God. And it can become real. And things, reasoning can happen normal. Time and chance happen to us all, Solomon said. So because, you know, something good happened to you, you contributed to God, but you worship the sun, something that was created by God. So we contribute and we worship the creation more than we do the creator. But you got to get to know him. So if you choose, I'm not bashing no religion. That's not my job. But my thing is, yeah, I defend the gospel to the best of my ability. You know, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, and then a lot of people might say, yeah, that was tampered with. Well, that's what you choose to believe. I know him to be the way. He said, no man can come to the Father except by me. But everybody, they, you know, they're putting him down. And you know, or say, some people say, I believe in him, but not that he is all what the scriptures say he is. You got to get to know him. He's alive. He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm going to be right there. He's in on our conversation. He listened to it. You know, I'm not the one to bash the next man, but if you choose to believe that a rock is real, hey, you know what I mean? And something good happened to you, the Bible says the sun shine on the just as well as the unjust. You can go plant a seed in the backyard. Your flower's going to grow just like mine. And whether I'm wicked or you wicked, the sun shines on the just as well as the unjust. When it rains, it only rains on my side of the street. Sometimes it do rain on one side, but that's just giving you an example. God, when he said that in his word, he said he's fair to all. The Bible says he's good even to the unthankful and even the evil. So I know him to be good, you know, but his judgment is real. We all got to stand before him. So he gave us a remedy. The remedy is the death of his son, who don't deserve to be crucified. You know, who don't deserve to be punished. We deserve to be punished. But he allowed a great sacrifice to be there, something that's innocent for the guilty. You know, because it got to be paid for. You can't get over. So God ain't letting man get over. And so what he says, okay, all right, I'm going to make a remedy for you. And the remedy is your faith in the Savior to come. And he came. That's Jesus Christ. So he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. The book says there is no name under heaven whereby we could be saved. Jesus has great power. The word says ain't no name greater than him. A lot of people say it's a myth. You know what I mean? Then you got to seek him. If you believe what he said is a myth, how you going to find him? And you don't believe. You're going to reason. And that's what's going to cause you to keep living. But then are you going to give an account for all your lying, stealing, cussing, and carrying on? We all do it. His word said, for all have sinned and come short of my glory. But he made a remedy because he said, blessed is the man in whom the Lord does not impute sin. So that means he's not going to bring it to your account or to your charge if you believe the very word that his son brought, which is salvation in Jesus Christ and no other name. Paul, he was killing Christians, but he got converted. You know, so he thought he was doing God's service. He thought he was serving the great God, but he was missing the mark. He thought he was killing Christians in the name of the Jewish religion and underneath Abraham, when Jesus said, if you was the children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham and love me. You know, not do the works of your father, the devil, trying to murder and kill. You know, so, I mean, it's all we got to do. He made it plain. It's open our eyes. You got to have faith. Faith going to outwin reasoning every time. But in this
world, I got a question for Apostle. I got a question for Apostle Young. Apostle, you still there? question.
Yep.
Apostle, for people right now that may be out there asking why would God allow this to happen with the, all these children getting murdered, what would you say to them right now live on the radio?
Well, number one, why are you assuming that God allowed anything?
Hello?
Okay.
Not that God did it, but some acts, you know, we know nothing can
no,
be
no.
without God.
No,
he moved the fence like Job, he moved the way,
okay,
out of the way.
So God allowed
Job to go through.
Hold on. I asked a question. The reason why I asked that question, because there is someone, somewhere, that may be thinking that. And I'm asking, you know.
Okay. Well, can I finish my answer?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question? I didn't hear. I just want to hear what the question
my
was.
My question was, I asked Apostle,
mm-hmm.
what would he say to someone that is out there right now, wherever they may be in the world? What would he say to them, to the person that's thinking, why would God allow these 20 or 18 children to be murdered like that?
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
All right, now, let me finish my statement. God is aware of everything that happens. All right. He, just like he knows the numbers of the hairs that's on my head, he knows about what happened in Connecticut. Now, to say that God allowed anything bad to happen like this is, I'm not going to sit here and say that. Now, I can say that he may have permitted the devil to do what he did. But you can't, you don't want to say, when, especially with something as tragic as this, that God allowed it. He knew about it. He may have permitted it. And I believe that when it's all said and done, he's still, even out of this tragedy, going to get glory out of it, some kind of way. Some kind of way. We might not understand or see how that can happen now. And that's what I was talking about reasoning. You can try to sit and try to reason why God would permit this kind of thing to happen. All right. Then you have to go back to the sovereignty of God. All right. But to sit here and say out of this situation or ask the question, if God is all powerful, if God is all what we say he is, why would he allow this to happen?
Now, Apostle, now, reason why I ask the question is, I'm not asking this question from a person who may be
I know exactly why, because this is the person who may be crying right now, who may be, you know what I mean, from that angle. I got you. And not to desensitize the situation, because by no means am I trying to desensitize this situation, because my son is sitting over there watching TV. So only thing I can do is sympathize with these people that might be at home crying, asking this exact same question. All right? But understand there's a reason why I'm saying what I'm saying. Whenever you are in this type of situation, that's when reasoning kicks in. Because reasoning wants answers to why certain things happen. Because you got evidence and proof in front of you. The evidence is and proof is that some maniac went into the school, they started shooting up kids, and now the kids are dead. The evidence is and proof is these folks got children that are now gone.
Wait, can I say something real quick on that? I think one simple point on the whole question about, you know, why did God let that happen. I was going to say that it's not necessarily that God let it happen. It's that if you follow in the scriptures say that, you know, God gave man free will. So, you know, that happened because of man's actions, not necessarily because God so-called allowed it or he said this is what I wanted to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's basically what I'm saying. I mean,
yeah.
I thank God for the interjection, but you know, to narrow this thing down. All right, what happened was a tragedy. My heart goes out, my prayers go out to every parent that's sitting at home with Christmas right around the corner, and instead of them celebrating Christmas or whatever holiday they celebrate during the season, they're going to be celebrating it in the midst of preparing for a funeral. So I don't want to desensitize what happened, but in all fairness, right now the first thing that's going to come to a person in this type of situation is reasoning, because you want to know, why is my child gone? So reasoning always promotes questions, probing, wanting answers. But then, after maybe a day or two of reasoning, if these people have God in their life, that's when their faith in God and trust in God being able to bring them through this situation is going to have to kick in. See, that's the difference between reasoning, because in this situation, reasoning cannot give them no answers. Because at the end of the day, the logic is that their child is gone. Once they come to grips that their child is not coming back, that child is gone, that child has been murdered by through a senseless act, now they're going to need to rely on their faith to get them through the process. Because reasoning will never get them through this process. So to answer your question, yeah, they're going to sit there and ask that question, and I'm not going to say that they're wrong for asking the question. They're well within their rights to ask the question. Because when Job was going through what he was going through, he asked questions. But what was God's reply to him? Where were you when I hung the stars, when I created the earth? So what I'm saying, you can ask all the questions that you want, but let's be realistic. Do you really think that God has to answer their questions about why he allowed it? They want to say, why would you allow it? Do you really think he has to answer their question? And then sooner or later, they're going to have to come to grips with the fact that they're not going to get an answer to their question. That's when their faith is going to have to kick in. Because if they don't have faith, what will wind up happening, the devil will use this to convert their minds and make them doubt God.
I definitely would. And I'm not necessarily pointing it, you know, toward you, Apostle, but just so off of what you said, it makes total sense to a faith-believing Christian. That makes, I mean, you can make that, you know, like that right there is a sermon for some, and it may, you know, it may bring some people through. That's an awesome thing for, like, you know, for some Christians to actually believe. But I think also what Jay was saying, at times a situation like this, I'll try not to comment on it, but
Let me see.
I know. A situation like this can basically make someone walk away from a belief and from a faith.
That's
just
what,
like,
and that's
Apostle
what I was
said
saying,
too. Yeah.
Listen, that's why I was saying I had asked the question. The question, I mean, it was like this.
Yeah. I don't want to answer it because I'll be rude about it.
No, it was. The thing was, what would you say to that person right now?
What I just said.
Platform. No, yeah, what, yeah. What Apostle said. What Apostle said would be the right answer to say for a Christian who's mourning. That's you can't say anything else. What else could you say?
Yeah, reasoning is not going to get them too far.
Yeah, reasoning is not going to help, and it's going to make them get mad at you and want to punch you in your mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So his answer for a believing Christian is the right, perfect answer. And if anybody doesn't give that type of answer, then me personally, I would question their Christianity.
Well, D.A., let me ask you this question. This question is for you. What would you say to the atheist?
What would I say to an atheist?
Yeah, what would you say to the person that's in this situation and they don't believe in God anyway, but they're still going through the same trauma? What would you say
I probably would do what Job's friends did at first, which was they stayed there with him for 3 days and consoled him. And cared for them and kept quiet, didn't say anything. They just stayed there, and they were friends. I ain't talking about what they did afterwards. I'm just talking about at that particular time. That's what I would probably do. And in any kind of way I can help you, I'll try my best to help you. I would try to be that hand that you can't be because you're mourning right now. That's what I would do.
So let me make this clear. So what you were saying that, if you had a friend, let's flip it now. Mm-hmm. So are you saying that if you had a friend who was a Christian and you would be there the same way and console them, right?
Yes, I would.
For your friend. But
mm-hmm.
if your friend eventually would you be like Job's friends to the Christian?
No, I wouldn't. To me, I honestly, you know, skepticism always goes in the story of Job, because a lot of people say that the story isn't true, it's just a story, and some people say that it actually is true. But I think that is me personally, this is just me personally, that's one of the worst desensitized stories anybody can tell anybody. I would just like Apostle said, I would just be there and tell them that God has a greater purpose for this type of situation. Just trust in God and believe. And if that consoles them, that's awesome. But I wouldn't be there and be like, well, Job went through the same thing. We so desensitize reality.
No, I didn't say that. You just flipped. I didn't say that. I want to make sure that you hear what I'm saying. I said, or would you be like Job's wife? Would you?
And I
would
I already said
be,
no. I said
oh,
no.
Yeah,
I'm
just saying you're flipping.
Yeah,
I want to
yeah.
make sure you know what
no,
I was
no,
saying.
No, yeah, yeah. I already said no, but I just wanted to, you know, continue on to say that Job's story.
I wasn't telling anybody to tell someone Job's story.
I know.
You know what
I mean?
Wasn't. Yeah, all right, yeah.
But Job's story, we take that, like, we take that so lightly, and we are mourning right now for people, you know, that we don't even know. Dealing with this tragic thing that happens, right?
And I believe
now,
that's what's needed in this world.
Yes,
I
yes, you're right. Now,
we need to start having more compassion
right.
for others.
Yes, you're right. It's needed. Just let me finish my statement, and then I'll be quiet.
Definitely. That's what's needed.
My thing is, you had to get that out, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to.
listen, when it comes to Job, right, this is exactly what happens. Job lost his whole family. Now, we say God didn't allow, you know, this tragedy to happen in Connecticut. Cool. But God actually allowed this Job's tragedy to happen just to test his faith. Now, God is taking away my whole family. And people look at that as, now, I'm saying if this was actually real, if this actually did happen, people look at that as a story, like, oh, yeah, he just lost his family and God just gave him a new one. What? Are you serious? We're talking about a man who lost his whole family, and we desensitize it so much from a biblical standpoint to make a point to say God has control over everything and God can do anything he wants to do. And we totally disregard the actual story of God literally allowing his whole family to be wiped out so that he can prove to Satan, which God already knows already, but just to amuse Satan, he says, oh, yeah, you can mess with him. You can take his whole family. Could you imagine your whole family being wiped out because God had a bet with Satan? And I'm not saying he actually had a bet, but if you just can understand where I'm coming from. Could you imagine that? And then for you to go to God and be upset and be angry and be mad and say, God, why did you do this? And God's answer is, just like a parent, because I said so, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm God. Like, when you look at it that way, it totally desensitizes a family like the family that's going through these kind of situations that they're going through right now. When you look at it from a biblical point of view and how people really, really portray that story. But I think the smart thing for people to do is to do exactly what Apostle said. You say, you know what? God loves you. There must be a reason why this is going on. And if you just can trust and believe just a little bit more, you know what I'm saying, you will get through this. And for a lot of people, that works. It works. And I say for those people who it works for, keep doing that.
Apostle?
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say something real quick. I just think it's a beautiful thing to have that balance in my mind, to have that balance between reasoning and faith. Like, the thing is, reason is encouraged if it's done with God. Or, you know, like, you know, when you do it, you know, when you have your reasoning, you know, it's within the confines of God's teachings. Like, it's when you put reason above your faith and make your reasoning the gospel, that's when you're going down a slippery slope. Because, do you understand what I'm saying?
No.
Now, I got a question for you. If you're going to take that route, what about, if you say you're a believer, what about when Jesus told his disciples, or let's go to Mary. What about Mary telling Joseph that she's pregnant? There's nothing reasoning about that, and that she haven't saw a man. If you're,
I'm not saying that there's reasoning in everything in the Bible.
No, he's basically saying balance the two. That's basically what he's saying.
Can I help you? Let me help.
Sometimes you gotta let go of reasoning. Sometimes you got, when it comes to God, when it comes to the Almighty, the Creator. You know, that's not reasoning for a bush to be burning and ain't no gas and ain't no fire been put to it. That's not reasoning at all. That's supernatural. God is supernatural. When you're dealing with the God of the Bible, the Gospels, you're dealing with Jesus Christ who resurrected from the dead, doing supernatural things today, and he's alive. And so
God said, Man was not told to depend upon his own thoughts, but he didn't say that man wasn't able, was not supposed to have his own thoughts, just not to depend upon his own thoughts. You get what I'm saying?
Let me.
I'm saying what comment was you were saying that, you know, if you believe in the gospel, you on a slippery slope. No,
he didn't say that. He said if you use reason as gospel, you're on the slippery slope.
He said if your reason becomes your doctrine over your faith.
Yeah, when you put your reason above your faith, that's when, and then you turn your reasoning into the gospel, then that's when you're on the slippery slope.
Let me say this. All right, I don't want nobody to think I'm trying to, you know, manipulate the conversation, but let me just say this like this. Anything that requires reasoning, God is not in it, because God requires faith.
That was awesome. I can't even remember. That was awesome.
See, can I finish? Let me finish my statement first.
Go ahead, because I got to ask this after this.
Apostle, that was off the hook. I'm sorry.
I mean, if you listen to what I'm trying to say, it's not rocket science. It's really simple. God requires faith. And if it has no faith in it, God's not in it, number one. Mm. So whenever you're dealing with God, know that if you got a reason it, God ain't in it.
Mm. Jesus.
All right. I just got to ask this question then, and Apostle. Why did God create and give us a mind that could reason and it we try to make sense of things? Why is that in our minds to try to make sense of things? And
it's
okay,
go ahead.
Hold up. And if are you saying that me trying to make sense of something, God doesn't get glory out of that? When he created my mind for me to even think, period?
I'm going to answer that just like this. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And then it goes down
and they that love it. And
huh?
They that love it. And then it says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
All right. Now, in everything, you have a decision that you got to make. And I'm going
to
answer that this way.
Thinking. You have to think.
You have to think.
Okay.
Now, you can either sit and try to reason a thing out, or especially if you don't have a logical answer, because if you don't have a logical answer, you can't reason anyway.
Got that right.
Mm. So before you can reason, there has to be evidence in front of you.
Mm.
God don't deal in evidence. He works in faith.
All right. So
man,
let me ask you this question.
My point right.
So hold up. So let me ask you this question. When you read a scripture, right, and you study it, and you study a scripture, do you get does the scripture, when you study it, you get the information in your mind and you think about what you study, right? And you make sense of it. You break it down and you study to gain more knowledge and wisdom, right?
Spiritually.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you have to think
now,
to do
now
that,
before
right?
you let break this down. Break this down to what you're saying. I'm getting ready to help you. You're sitting down and you're reading what? The Bible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That means there's a physical book in front of you. You're reading words that are in a physical book.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So what does that require you to do?
No, you have to think. You're studying.
Okay.
You're reasoning. You're reasoning on what
you're
reading.
There you go.
All right. But what you're reading to you doesn't make sense to others. Like if you're reading,
you still got evidence in front of you,
which is what Sword was saying before. Your faith,
You can't flip what I'm saying. There's no way it can be flipped.
No. So what I'm saying then, can your reasoning of something lead to faith?
Yes.
So you do need the both of them. Then
you need both. I said that when I first started talking. You
no,
can't.
But Aaron, you don't believe you need both, right?
Oh, you need both.
Not.
Aaron says that you don't need both.
Not reasoning.
Not when it comes. You need both on the spiritual aspect. You don't need both when, okay, if I'm looking at a bottle of water, I don't need faith to know that this is a bottle of water. My reasoning is telling me that logically, if it looks like water, it tastes like water, then it is what? It is water. What do I need faith with that for?
So what I'm saying is, all right, so what I'm saying is, when you study the word, right, you study the word, and the Bible has words in it, right? It has the word like the, it has it, for, it has words in it that connect and make sentences, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you read those words, you get
a definition or explanation of something, right? That, that leads you to different avenues of understanding, right?
Okay, well, listen, hold on. Check this out. Faith and reasoning, like I said, they're contrast. They don't work together. I'm sorry. I apologize. Go ahead. Finish saying what you were saying.
Yeah, all right. Now, what I was saying is, so what I'm saying is, faith is different from reasoning, right? But reasoning can be a bridge that leads you to faith, can't it? Can it?
Now, to answer your question, I say no. And the reason why I say no is, if you are looking at reason in the sense of evidence based on facts and logic, listen.
The evidence is the book.
Just reason. Listen. No. That's not evidence. I'm going to. That's your evidence built on your faith. It's building your faith. Now, for a believer, faith is their evidence. The way they build their evidence is by reading the book, because the book builds your faith. You listening to the word of God builds your faith.
Y'all missing the point.
No. Hold on.
Not you, Aaron. When you're dealing with spiritual matters. Say Minister J. Miller missing the point. So make me get it.
Okay, when I said the book, I was talking about the physical book. Just like a dictionary is a physical book.
It's a book, right?
All right, it's a book. Dictionary has every word that's in the English vocabulary is in the dictionary.
That's right, and you can see those words with your natural eyes. You don't need spiritual eyes to see the evidence. Words.
When you read a definition, logically, because you read the definition, you know that this book logically has the definition. So that doesn't require any faith.
Yes.
But the Bible, listen to what I'm saying. The Bible is full of things that if you don't apply faith with it, you might not believe it.
Exactly. And that's all I'm saying.
So that's why I'm saying, listen.
So what I'm saying is, when it comes to that, though, you still need both, though.
No, you don't. You can't.
Wait.
Don't you understand? Listen. Wait. Catholic. Before you come in, Catholic.
How can you understand the definition of a word if you don't think about the word?
Because thinking is just an attribute of reason. It's not reason.
What does faith come from, Apostle? What does the Bible say that how you get faith?
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Now, you're hearing the word of God, right? Which are words.
That's not reasoning.
You are misinterpreting the term.
No, listen
to what I'm saying. You're hearing words that are spoken out of a mouth of God's
just because that's physical, doesn't mean that's reason.
No, but what I'm saying is, listen, it still goes in your ear, and you have to know if the word believe.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
It does. You have to hear the word Jesus. You still have to make sense of the words in order for you to even go any further.
Day, that's not called reasoning. That's called either.
What?
Listen. That's not called reasoning.
What is it?
Jay, that isn't reasoning by definition.
No, but what is it though? You're making sense of what you're hearing, and you're putting it together.
No, but you're not doing it based off of the scientific definition of reason. You are basing that off. Listen, you're basing that off of faith. You're basing what you're hearing from faith.
No, I'm saying.
Apostle said that you cannot move God. Sword said you can't move God without faith. Reason doesn't move God.
Yo,
faith
listen.
Does.
God is the one who created your thinking, period. God created your mind to think. He created you to think. How can you speak something into existence without thinking about speaking something into existence?
You can't speak anything into existence. Only God can. No, only God can.
Devil's advocate. I gotta read a sentence.
Is that true, Apostle?
If that was the case, I would say, I'm going to have a baby right now, and then the existence, bam, it happens, and I have a kid. No, me having sex actually makes a baby occur. Speaking something isn't the actual definition, like God spoke things into existence. When God spoke things into existence, it appeared. We can't speak things into existence the way God actually could. Now, if we can, I would like to see evidence. That's when the reason comes in. That's when Apostle says reason can't work. Because God works out of reason. He works out of the bounds of reason. Because I would need an explanation of how the world was created. God says, I am the explanation. You don't need anything else besides me. I talked it.
Now, devil's advocate, my interpretation of the Bible's teachings was that reason is encouraged if done together with God. And when done together with God, then it's okay. Now, I want to read something to you, and I just want to see what you think about this one sentence.
Okay.
It says, reasoning with God must be according to his will. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, John 5:14. What do you think about that?
I think about that exactly what you said. It has nothing to do with reasoning from a scientific perspective. The definition that I read, that requires evidence that's tangible, that I can see, that I can feel, that I can explain by means of natural causes. God works in a spiritual realm where there aren't any particular type of natural reasoning or causes. For instance, someone goes to the hospital. Someone has cancer. The preacher that goes to the hospital says to the cancer patient, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now you are healed. The person is, boom, automatically healed, no questions asked, no nothing. The doctors come in and say, how in the world did that happen? The preacher says, because I called on the name of God and it happened right there. You can get up out of that bed right now and walk and get out of here because you're cured. They give them all tests and everything's cured. There's no reasoning behind that. That's labeled as a miracle because God did it. Now, the reasoning is somebody who has cancer goes through the process of chemotherapy, goes through the process of any other type of medication that they may have to take, changing their diet, doing all these things, then they're actually cured from cancer. That's logic because I can actually measure what they did to get to that point. You can't measure what God does. God does something, boom, right then and there. There's no question about it.
I believe we got our brother Nefer on the phone.
Yeah, what's happening, man? How y'all doing?
What's going on?
Brother Nefer. What's happening, Swole?
man. What's happening, bro?
Hey, man, I'm right here, man. I'm keeping it slow moving, but I'm moving. It's moving.
Your voice, man.
So Nefer got more, he got more numbers than Obama.
What happened? I keep it moving. I don't know which one of y'all is saying, so I have to keep y'all.
Do you have more money than
the phone?
I better come over
here
and
see. I ain't
giving
you
all
the time. Hey, but listen, man. You know, it's funny because y'all was having that conversation. I was having the same conversation a couple of days ago. I don't know if it was yesterday or what, where a brother was telling me about faith. And he was telling me about something that was going on required. He was using faith to make it happen. And his example was speaking something into existence. And there's a thin line with that, you know, because there's two things that we have to look at. One is faith that we can say is faith, and the other is positive affirmation, right? And they work the same way because both of them require somebody to do something. Both of them require work. A positive affirmation is like, I said a goal for myself.
I'm going to get me a new car. And I don't care. I'm not going to let nothing stand in the way of getting this new car. And I take the car that I want, and I put the picture up on the wall, and I look at it. Now, I have to have I have to affirm within myself that I'm gonna make that come true. And I say, you know what, realistically, it's going to take me a year to get that car. Now, because this person has told somebody else, you know, I'm going to get me a new car, and he'll stand up in church and say, you know what, I'm going to get me a new car. God's going to allow me to get a new car. Now, he'll go through the process of a firm positive affirmation of putting his money up, making the sacrifices, doing the things that he needs to do. And he'll get the new car, pull up in church, and they'll say, see, the Lord blessed him with a new car. When the reality was, faith had nothing to do with it. The reality said, what happened?
No, I'm just laughing because, go ahead, keep going. Because it's making sense, that's why.
So the reality was that positive affirmations is faith. Now, there are some things that people can use their faith for. Now, am I saying that? You know, we had a conversation with somebody who said, you know, scripture on Jermaine's page, actually, where the brother said, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I had to ask him, I said, if you were hungry and I came to you and I gave you a sandwich and you didn't have any faith, I mean, would my action be pleasing to God? And he didn't want to answer it. And Jermaine tell you it was like 20 posts, he didn't want to answer it. I said, but is my actions pleasing to God? And he kept saying, without faith is impossible to please God. I said, okay, so if I bought the sandwich and I threw it on the ground, I thought you asked me for it and I threw it away, would that be pleasing to God? And he said, no. So, and then if the Bible says, given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together. And so God is saying, it is pleasing to do other, good acts please God, period. Right? So it is a way. So I think people misinterpret.
Whoa, you're stepping on some heavy ground there, bro.
No. People often misinterpret sometimes the way the scripture reads. Now, here's one thing. And I will say, and I'm learning this every day, is that that book was written for your own personal edification. It might as well have been, should not say Holy Bible on it. It should say your name, because what you get out of it is for you. Like, for example, I posted a post today on my Facebook page that talked about Solomon receiving 666 talents for the year. That's what he would get every year. That's what the Bible says, right? And so when you go to the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation said that the mark of the beast would be 666 in his hand. And so my question was, did Solomon receive the mark of the beast? Is it prophetic? And so it depends on how we look at the book. If we look at it from a reasoning perspective, Solomon received the mark of the beast because the mark of the beast was the system of economics that governed people, right? So if we look at it from reasoning, Solomon received it. If we look at it from a faith perspective, Solomon didn't receive it.
All I have to say is, Brother Sinefer, everything you said, I mean, made so much sense. I mean, in every possible way, except from a Christian point of view, when you said that good works please God, I don't know how many Christians, Bible-toting Christians, would believe that particular.
Well, it's in the Bible. You just have to show them it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Nobody goes to hell because of good or bad works. Nobody goes to hell because they do bad things or they do good things. Or they don't go to heaven because they do bad things or good things. There's no amount of things that you can do according to the Bible that says, okay, if you do 31 of these and 42 of those, you get into heaven. Or you say 10
right.
of hell.
Then it'll be put God in debt. If it was that, you put God in debt, but God
right.
won't be indebted to no man.
Right.
Like,
so
what would
Yeah, but hold on, wait. I apologize, but if with that being said, can a good man who actually done good and helped people without necessarily asking Jesus to be into their life, can they go to heaven?
So
that's where Jesus said that many will come to me and say, I have done many great works.
Exactly.
So let me ask you something.
His response was, depart from me, you workers of iniquity.
Okay, so let me ask you something. So if a Muslim, now we ain't even gonna use religion. Let's use something else. Let's just say
a good person.
We ain't gonna use a profession. So if a washing machine technician goes to a car dealer, and he says, hey, no, not even a car dealer, airplane. He's a washing machine technician, and he says, hey, I'm going to Delta. I can fly your plane. And they say, according to our manual, you don't know our manual. Well, he says, well, I know the Maytag, man. I can fix the washing machine. That's a machine. I mean, I can do. So if you, and I'm saying that to say, you can't look to receive rewards from something that you don't participate in, right? So, and this is my point. If you don't believe what Christians believe, why participate in the party? I'm not going to go to if Muslims don't believe, do I believe that all Muslims are going to be sent to hell? No, because they have standards, just like Christianity has standards, that they say that God promised them. Their whole life is to live holy. Their whole life is to live according to what their holy scripture says, just like the Christian's life is according to what to live, just like what God says. So now, where do we remove the religion and say, okay, somewhere in this, I have to look at the common denominator. The common denominator says that I need to live a righteous life. And the golden rule of that Jesus' main rule was, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so if I do that.
Number two, I want to make the comment
on,
like now, you could be a good person or you could be a bad person. The Creator, according to Holy Scripture, has said all have sinned. So being good does not qualify you because you got a stain. What's going to get you in or out is whether you believe what he said and did through his mechanism to save you, which is faith and belief in the Son of God. So if you
believe it, right?
Okay, now, according to the Holy Scriptures, he said, if you don't believe, that's
which
what it's
ones?
You shall like by purpose.
Which Holy Scripture? Because the Quran does not say that. The Hosea does not say that. The Torah does not say that. The Genesis does not say that.
Which one was first?
Was the Hosea was first.
Well, I'm going according to the, not the Torah, but the Holy Scriptures, the Gospel.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's the one that you're living by because that's governing your life and it's changing you to be who you are. And it's a good thing. That's why I think when we get to the point like today, for a perfect example, that guy went over there and shot up and killed 20 babies. Perfect example. The guy went and killed 20 babies and 7 or 8 adults. And all you see on the news is these, excuse the expression, people scrambling about what just happened in their community. And I'm saying their community, and we all know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the last year, New Jersey has lost over 600 African-American youth. Regardless of how they lost them, dead is dead. We ain't put the drugs in our community. We ain't put the guns in our community. But dead is dead.
and the only media source that touched it was the Trentonian. Now, the president came on there crying about the fact that the world lost, Connecticut lost 20 of their kids in a school environment, which is a horrible, horrible thing, and I feel that. But the truth of it is, when do they say that our lives is important? Where does faith come in with that? Do we continue to believe that the government is going to save us, or do we continue to believe that our God is going to come from heaven, take all the guns, and turn everybody's life around? No, there's a bigger matter here, and it's called reasoning. And so we have to use common reasoning to say, there's a reason why Christie has not addressed our situation, but if you watched the news last night, he was on the news, but it was about him becoming the president of the United States. Yes. You there?
Yeah.
Hello?
So if
the media is pumping him up to become the president of the United States, and he's doing what he's doing to New Jersey, imagine what the African-American communities across the globe is going to go through. And so when we start talking about reasoning versus faith, where do we put our faith? Reasoning is logical thinking that says, hey, I see what's going on with this. I ain't got to ask God to fix it because he gave me the intelligence to change it. We need to get our people together. We need to call it between New Jersey, Patterson, all the African American cities in the state of New Jersey, get the leaders, become a leader if we can't find a leader, become one and make one in other cities and bring that attention to the news, because 600 black deaths in 2012 to me says a lot more than 20 deaths in Connecticut. And I'm not playing a race card, I'm just calling it like it is. And so when we start talking about changing things and doing things and what faith means, and we can stay on this radio and go at each other all night long about the etymology of the word, but it's not changing anything. So where we are with this is, okay, you got faith, let's pull these people together. Have faith in doing it. Let's put faith or positive affirmation in its place, and let's align it with what, if the work of God is to change the streets and to change the situations in the street, let's align positive affirmation, faith, reasoning, whatever you call it. Let's put those things in perspective and do what we're supposed to do to change it, because I'm going to tell you something. They don't care. When I say they, now listen, there's a difference between white supremacy and white people. Hear me. There's a big difference between white supremacy and white people. White supremacy doesn't care. White people are compassionate, some of them. Not many, but some of them are compassionate about the 600. Because if they only knew, they don't know, because white supremacy shields it. So our job is to change that, man. That's what this is about. Lou went to Jersey and he prayed for that city because something was in his spirit. Jermaine went out there with him and prayed for that city because something was in his spirit. You know what I'm saying? Now, he has faith that what he sent up is going to come back and produce the fruit. But now it's time to move on it, because let me tell you something. Last week it was the mall. They shot up everybody in the mall. This week is the schools. And the funny part about it, not funny, but sad part about it is they don't see that God is telling them, hey, y'all ain't being compassionate to the other people. If you don't get your life together, it's going to be some more. Because we don't do that. We got to look at this month, what this month means. This month, December, mark it on your calendar, because December is the month where people commit suicide, people commit murders, and people hurt people, man. So if we got faith, put it where it deserves. Put it where it's supposed to be. This thing is clicking down 25 to me. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take up.
No, man, no, I got you. It's something you said that even when you mentioned about when
I'm apostle, went up to the, you know, and prayed.
Mm-hmm.
I went up there with him. On yesterday, you know, my neighbor, Pooh, they had his funeral yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back home, you know, different people was coming around. And all of a sudden, a lot of people start coming around. So I goes in my backyard and I pulls out the grill.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring the grill on the street. Went to the store, got some food. Then
mm-hmm.
my man Chitter, you know what I mean?
Chitter.
Yeah, Chitter. He was like, yo, you know, the minister, man, get your money, man, together, man. We're going to get